We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're back. It's time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. It is a special Orange Bowl. Look, we have oranges on the desk. It is an Orange Bowl preview presented by our friends at Bojangles. And Adam, we have a big show. This is a big show.
As befits a big bowl.
Yeah.
You can't have an Orange Bowl show without having it be packed to the gills with good stuff that you want to know as a Carolina football fan to watch the Tar Heels in the Orange Bowl. We got all that for you over this next 45 minutes or so.
We have our Cokes, we have our oranges, and what else do we have? We are going to talk to the head coach of the Tar Heels, Mac Brown. We are going to talk to the starting quarterback for Carolina, Sam Howell. We are going to talk to former Tar Heel All-America, Brian Simmons. He, of course, went on to play 10 years in the NFL, then scout in the NFL. He is now the analyst on the Tar Heel Sports Network. Talked to Brian about a lot of different topics. You are going to see a highlight film from it this past season. And we have former Tar Heel Matt Merletti giving you a really in-depth breakdown of Texas A&M, taking a look at some of their top players and plays. Adam, we are chock full of action.
We've got a video narrated by Eric Church.
No, what?
You've never even seen before. It's brand new. All this stuff exclusive to the show. What I have learned, Jones, is the only people who really are underqualified to be on the show are here at the desk.
That's right. We're just the traffic cops here. But before we get to Coach Brown, Adam, it really is an exciting time. Carolina in the Orange Bowl, first major bowl for the Tar Heels since 1950, first ever invitation to the Orange Bowl, and gosh, what an accomplishment for Carolina football.
Biggest bowl of our lifetime as Carolina football fans, a great opportunity to play a really good Texas A&M team. It'll be three top 10 opponents in the final four games of the 2020 season. That's the level Carolina football wants to get to. That's the kind of games they want to be playing all the time. They're getting a chance on Saturday night.
All right, we have all these cool people for you to hear from, so let's get started. We chatted with the Hall of Fame head coach of the Tar Heels, Mac Brown. We'll get to that and then a whole lot more to do here on our Orange Bowl preview presented by Bojangles.
Thanks so much for being with us as we get ready for Carolina and Texas A&M. It is Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Radio-wise, we'll be on the air at 7 p.m. Tar Heels in a major bowl for the first time since 1950. That was an appearance in the Cotton Bowl Classic against Rice 70 years ago. And to help us talk about this upcoming matchup with Texas A&M, he, of course, the Hall of Fame head coach of the Tar Heels, Mac Brown. My name is Jones Angel. And, Coach, again, congratulations. Wow, what an honor. And I know your team wants to finish this off and play well, but what an honor to get to this point, to be selected for the Orange Bowl, to have the type of year that you had. What a terrific season it's been for Carolina football.
Jones, it really has. I'm so excited. I'm so proud It really validates the reason that Sally and I wanted to come back, to see the look on these players' faces, to see the confidence they've gained over a horrible year for our world, and all of the deaths and lost jobs and evicted out of homes. And it's just been an absolutely horrible year for our world. And at the same time, our players have embraced being a team and stepping up and not using all of the tough things that are out there in society as an excuse not to do well. And I'm so proud of them and the staff for all the things that they've accomplished during a year that it would have been very easy to say, I don't want a part of this. I'm not playing. I'm worried about being sick. I don't like being on Zoom. I want to go to class. So I'm really, really proud of these guys. They have been absolutely incredible.
Coach, from the pure football standpoint, what's been going on with your team since we last saw it in that dominating win against Miami a few weeks ago?
What you do in bowl preparation is you take half of your bowl preparation, and it's a very physical practice sessions with your young guys, preparing them for spring practice. Then the other part of what you do is you try to get ready for your bowl game, because you need to win every game, but you need to win your last game to take momentum into spring if you can. And since our four guys aren't playing, the three we knew about, but we can still do a lot of the same things. Antoine Green's got to step up and as another receiver for Diami, and we had Javonte. Then Javonte decided not to play. So this week we've been redoing everything, trying to figure out what is the best thing that we can do by scheme to give our team an advantage in this ballgame.
Coach, where do you think, I mean, this may be a very obvious question, you're losing a lot of talent with those four players electing not to play, but where do you think it affects your team the most not having those four guys available to you here in the Orange Bowl?
I would think it's probably confidence and leadership, because you've got two captains involved with the guys that aren't playing. You've got your most valuable player on offense. You've got your most valuable player on defense.
Yeah.
You've got your best special teams player, and you've got your best wide receiver. So it takes away a whole lot of the production that you had, and therefore makes it a little harder for the guys to be as confident going into the game as they would have with a lot of these guys. And then on defense, you're taking your captain and leading tackler and a guy that the guys know that can step up like he did against Miami on a 4th-and-1 and stop the run, but also can chase down the screens and the draws and the sweeps and the things that Texas A&M will try to do against us.
Coach, you made a great point, I thought, earlier this week where you mentioned how much of an effect it may have on your special teams, because some of the guys who will be filling in with larger play-by-play roles now, a guy like Eugene Asante, for example, has been a major special teams contributor. So an area certainly to keep an eye on.
Yeah, British Brooks is our special teams captain. Well, he'll be playing tailback now. Josh Henderson and Eugene Asante are two of our three most productive special teams players. They will both be on the field a lot, so we're going to have to take them off of special teams, and at least most of them, because we can't afford to get them hurt. We went from 6 running backs a few weeks ago. Now we have 3 because DJ Jones broke his ankle in practice as well. So we're really limited at the tailback position from it being a powerful position, a position of strength on our team. So the guys have to step on special teams as well. They've got to step up, and that's just what we're doing. When you have unexpected opportunities like this, it's what we talk to all young athletes about, all young people about. Be prepared, because you never know when your time's going to come. And this was very unexpected, but it's here. And it's now, and you can't go prepare for it. You have got to have been preparing for it and have yourself ready to go.
Coach, how about Texas A&M? What should Tar Heel fans know about the Aggies just from looking at them on paper? A terrific rushing team, a veteran quarterback, a good defensive team, a big challenge coming up for Carolina.
Yes, I think, Jones, our fans should just go back and look at what we saw with Notre Dame.
Mm.
And that's Texas A&M. The 1's 4 and 1's 5. There was a big fight over which one should be in the top 4 for the playoff. after watching playing one team and studying Texas A&M, I can see why they thought Notre Dame and Texas A&M were just alike, because they are. And that'll be a huge test for us, but our guys are excited about the challenge.
Carolina and Texas A&M coming up on Saturday night. Coach, congratulations again on a terrific year. Thanks for your time here on the show, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you, Jones. And Jones, thanks to all of our fans this year for hanging in there with us. You folks were unbelievable. Understanding that, like, our year was unique and different, yours was too. But thank you for being great Tar Heels.
We appreciate Coach Brown's time. And Adam, something that Coach Brown talked about and something that we are going to get heavily into here over the rest of the show is the quality of the opponent that Carolina is playing. Texas A&M, ranked number 5 in the college football playoff poll, right there on the edge of making it to the national championship semifinals, and a worthy team of that ranking. This is a terrific football team.
And it starts at the very top with head coach Jimbo Fisher. You've got 2 of the 6 active head coaches with national championships facing off in the Orange Bowl. Mack Brown, Jimbo Fisher going head-to-head. Jimbo Fisher's got a very Jimbo Fisher-type team. They're physically talented. They're going to line up and do what they do, and it's your job to try to stop them. Not only are they talented, but they're also very experienced, which poses a problem for a Carolina team that, as you know, is missing some key players. So Tar Heels got a big challenge against a Texas A&M team, but you also get the feeling Carolina excited about this challenge that they have.
All right, Dave Nathan is going to give you a quick nuts and bolts preview of Texas A&M. After that, you will hear from Brian Simmons. Adam and I had a chance to talk to Brian about just the experience of the Orange Bowl, how important it is for Carolina. Brian talks a little bit about Texas A&M as well. Then Lee Pace will join us for some bowl memories. The last time that Carolina went to Florida with Mack Brown as the head coach was the conclusion of 2 really good seasons in 1996 and 1997. And then we'll talk with Sam Howell after that. So a bunch coming up. A Texas A&M preview, Brian Simmons, then you'll hear from Lee Pace, and then we'll chat with Sam Howell, all here on our Orange Bowl preview presented by Bojangles.
The Aggies of Texas A&M finished the 2020 regular season with a record of 8-1 and a CFP ranking of 5. That made Jimbo Fisher's program the first team left on the outside looking in to college football's Final Four. A&M's lone loss came in just its second game of the season to Alabama, a 52-24 defeat that quickly proved to be the pivot point in running off 7 consecutive wins. Following the loss to the Crimson Tide, the Aggies handed then-number 4 Florida a 41-38 defeat. While Carolina's Orange Bowl opponent didn't face another ranked team for the remainder of the year, it did get impressive wins over perennial SEC West powers like Auburn and LSU. Individually, quarterback Kellen Mond is the heart and soul of Texas A&M. The senior signal caller passed for better than 2,000 yards in the abbreviated season. He accounted for 19 touchdowns through the air against just 3 interceptions, and as a dual threat, rushed for over 250 yards and 3 more scores. For his career, Mond is the Aggies' all-time leader in passing yards with 9,429 and passing touchdowns with 71. In addition to Mond, the Aggies' offensive line is one Carolina will have to contend with. They're big, physical, and talented. The Maroon Goons, as they're known, went 24 quarters and 201 pass attempts without allowing a sack. They also paved the way for the SEC's top rushing attack per attempt at 5.4 yards per carry. Defensively, A&M is 9th best in the country in stopping the run, allowing only 100 yards per game on the ground. So without Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, Carolina will have its work cut out against an Aggies team accustomed to making opposing offenses one-dimensional. It all adds up to a significant but not insurmountable challenge for the Tar Heels, who have a chance to knock off a top-5 program and finish inside the top 10 for the first time since 1997.
Look, you knew it was a big game because it was the Orange Bowl, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a bigger game than you thought, because Brian Simmons is going to be in the stadium for the Orange Bowl. Forget about the pandemic. He's going to be there on the radio with Jones, so you're going to get a great call on the Tar Heel Sports Network. He's also with us right now. Brian, thanks for giving us some time.
Hey, Adam, I'll tell you this. You're really lowering the bar for Carolina fans. I hope it's a much bigger game than that. So, but no, it is very exciting as a fan, and then obviously as a member of the broadcast to be at the Orange Bowl this Saturday and calling the game. So I'm excited.
Well, how big a game is this for Carolina football? As someone who played for the Tar Heels, as someone who got right to the brink of this point, what does it mean for Carolina football to go to the Orange Bowl?
I mean, it's the biggest bowl game that we've ever played in. I mean, you can honestly say that. So, you know, I think that speaks for itself. This team, with the amount of adversity that they had to go through this year to get to this point, and then to also be able to carry the program, not just this team, but to carry the program to the Orange Bowl is a great accomplishment for this group of guys and for the coaching staff and all the support staff members. It takes the whole village to get you to the Orange Bowl, and they got that accomplished this year.
Brian, you follow Carolina closely. Of course, you know Mack Brown really well. How did he do this so quickly? How did this go from a team that won five combined games over 2 years to a team that's now in a New Year's Six bowl game?
Jones, I think you know what my first answer is going to be, and it starts with that guy that gets the ball from under the center most of the time. In order to getting him flipped from Florida State to North Carolina, if you have three reasons, that was one, two, and two and a half, right? Because you're only as good as that guy. But not only that, to get those guys who over 2 years only won five games, to be able to coach them hard, but yet instill the confidence in them that we're going to be good, we are good. And, you just have to give his staff that credit, because that's a tricky balancing act that you have to do as a coach. And then continue to recruit guys, and they're playing some younger guys who are being very productive for them. You know, you put all those things in there together, and that's how you end up to where you are right now.
Obviously, to get to the Orange Bowl, you've got to win a lot of games. You've got to beat a lot of good teams. This year specifically, with everything else going on, what does it say about Mack Brown's program and kind of the organization that they were able to navigate through all these potential pitfalls? Because we saw some other teams fall victim to those, navigate through all that stuff and get to this point with no major issues.
Not only that, but no really major dissent within the locker room between the players. You didn't really, once the season got kicked off, it was all football for this team. And that's a direct reflection of leadership and Coach Brown and his staff. Jones been around Coach Brown, and Adam, you've been around and know that he is a very detail-oriented guy. There's not a situation that comes up that he has not thought about and wrote down on his little index card. He has all that in his pocket. So, you know, his leadership, his ability to think out front, his communication with his players and what he's looking for out of them, out of his coaching staff. You know, Coach Brown is a guy that's going to give you – he's going to give you the problems before they even come up, and he will have the solution for them.
Brian, of course, a big story going into this game for Carolina is who they don't have, with Michael Carter and Javonte Williams and De'Ami Brown and Chaz Surratt all electing to opt out and focus on the next step for them. As a guy who is a former player, of course, both in at Carolina and in the NFL – you scouted for a decade in the NFL as well. I'd just be interested in your thoughts on those decisions and as a player in particular, kind of the emotions that come up for you with these decisions these guys made.
Yeah, first of all, let's just talk about it from a fan standpoint, right? And I know there's a lot of people on social media saying what the players should do, what they shouldn't do, and why it's wrong that they're doing what they're doing. But I think, Javonte Williams, De'Ami Brown, Michael Carter, Chaz Surratt, what we all should be doing as fans is saying, thank you. I appreciate the work that you guys put in to get us to this point. I appreciate your leadership on and off the field. I appreciate the way you played the game, the way you carried yourself, the way you held the flag for the program. Thank you for getting us to the Orange Bowl. I understand that you had to make a personal decision at this point. And that's what those guys did. There should be no ill feelings towards those guys. They had to make a decision that they felt like was best for them as a player, but more importantly, as a person. And I don't have any problem with it. As a fan, as a former player, as a former scout, everybody has to make that decision when the time comes. And it's always easy to say what somebody else should have done when it's not your decision to make. And I'm just talking in life in general. We all do that. But I have no problem at all with the decision those guys made. I'm proud of those guys for the way they played through this season. They gave it their all. They gave it their all throughout their career. And all these guys are great young men who were team first guys. So I'm happy for them.
How do the personnel differences on offense with the opt-outs shift the burden on Sam Howe?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a different story, though, right? So with these guys opting out, it's over 3,000 yards worth of opt-out there, you know? So you don't just get that back, you know, just because of Sam Howe. You know, everybody's talked about the narrative this year where, you know, Carolina can run the ball on offense. We're really good. And when we struggle to run the ball, we struggle overall on offense. And so with, you know, when Michael Carter opted out, I said, you know, man, I would love to have him and be able to have that 1-2 punch, but we got Javonte, right? And then when Javonte opted out, then you're like, oh, gracious. You know, now we got to come up with some solutions. But I think what Carolina will do, without having talked to any coaches, I think they'll find a way to get the ball to Chad. I mean, to get the ball to Newsom really quick in the passing game, which really just becomes an extension of the run game. And then they like British Brooks. I mean, talking to the coaches, obviously he's not Carter, he's not Williams, but he runs hard. He'll be physical. I think it's going to be important to be able to get some movement up front against Texas A&M, which is going to be hard sledding. I think we're going to have to attack them on the perimeter in the run game. But I think this may be a game that we may have to come out, especially early on, and throw the ball, get the ball out of the quarterback hands quickly, and then try to settle down into the running game. Don't just beat your head against a wall, especially early on, and try to force something that's not there.
Brian, before we let you go, I know you've been preparing for this game. You've taken a look some at Texas A&M. We've done that a lot on this show as well. But I'd be interested in your thoughts on the Aggies and what kind of challenges they present for Carolina.
Well, I really like the quarterback. And the first thing that stood out to me when looking at Mons is how patient and how calm he is in the pocket. And then the second thing about him, if you're in coverage, you better expect the ball really quick, because he can go from having two hands on the football to boom, the ball is right in the receiver's chest right now. I mean, he has no wasted motion in his throwing pattern. He's very fluid, and then he's an athletic guy, and we know what challenges that has been for Carolina defense. And then up front, just their offensive line, how big they are. You know, I think they're a very solid group. Do I think they're Notre Dame good? I don't, but that's not a knock on these guys, because Notre Dame was really good. And then the running backs, Spiller and then number zero, man, Zero's a special player. I mean, mm-hmm. They play him at running back, they play him in the slot. So wherever Zero is, we better have our eyes on him and be ready to tackle the catch, because after the catch, he is just as dangerous as he is running routes. And he's a really good football player.
Number zero, Aeneas Smith, a good player for the Aggies. Brian, Texas A&M so big on the offensive line and on the defensive line. Carolina's not going to get bigger between now and Saturday. So how do you counteract that physical advantage?
Well, you do it by scheme. And, you know, Texas A&M defensively, I think their strength is in the middle. You know, they got big body at nose tackle or one technique in Bobby Brown. And that's not the R&B senior. That's the 325-pound defensive tackle. He is a load. I think we're going to have to attack them on the perimeter, get the ball out of sin. We want to run the ball up. A lot of quick screens, that's really an extension, getting the running backs, hitting the numbers really quick on the wide zone running plays, and then just the up-tempo. And that's the one thing I remember when I was in Cincinnati and we used to play Baltimore, and they had Big Sarah Goosa and Big Sam Adams. Well, you know, those guys are really good against the run, but what we said, we were going to go no tempo, get them really tired and winded early on, and then try to take their legs from them. I think Carolina do that. I do think, though, if we can get those guys blocked up, and they really don't have dynamic pass rushes, they're more power guys, I really do think in the secondary there is some hay to be made. Even though we don't have Diami, I think that Emory Simmons can make some plays. Obviously, Daz Newsome can. Look for Walston to get involved over the middle of the field. I feel really good about those opportunities.
That's a shame Brian doesn't know football very well, huh, Adam? No. Always great to talk with you, Brian. Looking forward to being back with you on Saturday down in Miami, and looking forward to the Orange Bowl as well. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, I appreciate it. I guess it was meant to be, because we didn't get to do the Miami game in person at the, down there in Fort Lauderdale, so we get a chance to come back to something a little bigger and a little better at the Orange Bowl. So, Jones, you know how I feel about you. I'm always excited to be on the air with you, and hopefully we can get this win against – I don't want to say against all odds, but, you know, there's some odds stacked up against us. But, you know, after watching the film of Texas A&M, you respect them. They're the number five team in the country. But I think this is a team that if Carolina comes out, they take care of the football, we can win this football game.
Keenan Moments with Lee Pace, brought to you by Pinehurst. There's never been more to discover at the cradle of American golf. Go to Pinehurst.com to plan your visit.
The first chapter of Mack Brown's career as the Tar Heel head coach ended with his 1996 and 97 teams posting a combined 21-3 record and landing in the state of Florida for the postseason. The destination both years was the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, as the Tar Heels made quick work each year with wins over West Virginia and Virginia Tech. The latter win achieved after Brown had just left for the University of Texas. Two themes of those teams were a double-barreled quarterback position with Chris Keldorf and Oscar Davenport, and a rock-ribbed defense accented by the playmaking ability of cornerback Dre Bly. In the 20-13 win over West Virginia, the gazelle-like Davenport won MVP honors by passing for 175 yards and one touchdown and running for another, and Bly, a freshman, picked off two passes. And in the 42-3 rout of Virginia Tech a year later, Keldorf threw for 290 yards and three scores, and Bly returned a blocked punt for a touchdown.
Had four punts blocked on the year in two games, and this one's blocked. Picked up by Carolina, touchdown, Dre Bly. Blocked by Quentin Savage, and Dre Bly picks it up and runs it in for the touchdown.
Now Brown's back on the Tar Heels sideline and is joined by Bly as his cornerbacks coach. Here's hoping for another dose of that Florida bowl game magic tonight.
Pretty simple. He's the Orange Bowl-bound quarterback of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Sam Howell. Sam, we appreciate you giving us some time in this very busy time for you. How does this trajectory for the program fit with what you imagined when you decided to come to Carolina?
Yeah, you know, when I decided to come here, I definitely wanted to turn this into a national program as best as I could. You know, I wanted to be a part of the change of really taking this program back to where it's supposed to be. You know, I think playing in the Orange Bowl is definitely a big help in what we're trying to do here. You know, not only getting to the Orange Bowl, we want to win the Orange Bowl. I think that'd be huge for the trajectory of our program and where we're really trying to take this thing.
Has it surprised you, Sam, though, that it's happened so quickly? And I know you weren't here for those 2 years previous when Carolina only had five total wins in those two seasons combined. But has it been a little bit of a surprise to you that it's happened as quickly as it has?
Honestly, not really. You know, I came up here a lot throughout my recruiting process, and I always knew there was a lot of really good players here.
Yeah.
So I was confident in my own ability too. So I knew if I came in and did what I was supposed to do, that we'd have a chance to be pretty good. And obviously with Coach Brown coming back and with his leadership, I knew that really we can take this thing where we want to take it. So I really haven't been that surprised, and I'm just really excited about where this program's going, because I think it's gonna be one of the best programs in the country coming up pretty soon.
I know this bowl preparation and bowl week will be different than last year's bowl preparation and bowl week, but what do you think you learned from getting ready for the Military Bowl last year that'll help you this year and also help you help some of your younger teammates?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot different, especially not being there the whole week. You know, honestly, this kind of just feels like an away game.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have all the events and stuff like that, so... You know, the main thing I kind of took away from the Military Bowl was, you know, you have all the events and all that stuff, which are great, which are fun, but you know, the mentality is still go down there and win the game. You know, you kind of have a lot of distractions. You know, a lot of it's fun. You know, I enjoy all that stuff. But definitely you just want to make sure that you keep the main thing, and our main thing is to go down there and win the football game. You know, with bowl games, you kind of have a lot of different events and some things that could distract some of the younger guys. So we definitely want to make sure we have the right mentality going into it.
It feels like a lot of times the team that wins the bowl game is the team that's the most excited to be there. And, of course, you got to go and execute on the field and all those different things. But just the excitement level, with everything that's gone on since the regular season came to a close, what is the excitement level, the focus level, in your opinion, for you, your guys, and the entire team?
Yeah, I think we're very excited. We know the opportunity that we have in front of us with playing a team like Texas A&M, who very easily could have been in the college football playoff this year, you know, and just playing the prestigious bowl game as the Orange Bowl is. So we definitely know the opportunity we have, so we're very excited for that. You know, I mean, obviously we've had a couple guys opt out, but, you know, that hasn't changed our excitement. You know, we still expect to win every single game that we play, and, you know, we're going in there with a lot of confidence, and we want to win the football game.
Does it change – what you can do on the field, though, without those guys, without Diami, without Michael, without Javonte, obviously terrific players, as we know. Does it change what you feel like you guys can do offensively?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say no, but, you know, the obvious answer is yes. You know, those guys are three really good players, and I think all three of those guys were All-Americans this year, so it's going to be hard to replace those guys, but we have some really good younger players that we feel really good about. You know, they haven't had a whole lot of game experience, but they've had some experience, and we've seen them a lot in practice, and we know what we can do. We know what they can do, and so I'm excited for those guys to get out there and really show everyone else what they got, because I think they kind of have a little underdog mentality just because everyone's just talking about the players that have opted out, and they're not talking about the players that are actually playing in the game. So, you know, those guys kind of have a little chip on their shoulder, and I'm excited for those younger guys to get in there and play.
This will be three of the last 4 weeks of the season that you faced a top 10 opponent, and I know that's the level that Carolina football is trying to play at all the time. What have you gotten out of the Notre Dame and Miami game that you think will be helpful going against Texas A&M that's required to play at that level consistently for 80 snaps or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think you said it. Just the main thing is consistency. You know, the Notre Dame game, you got to come out with the mentality and a physicality, and you got to maintain that for four quarters to win the football game. You know, in the Notre Dame game, we didn't do that on the offensive side of the ball. You know, we came out good in the first half, but we didn't do anything in the second half in that. And, you know, we just got to learn from that and move forward. You know, I think we did a good job in the Miami game. We came out with some energy. We came out with a surge, and we just kept it on the whole entire game. So we just need to come out with the right mentality, the right physicality, and we can't let up, because against good teams, when you let up, you lose the football game. So really just knowing you got to play consistent all four quarters. You know, if you take one series off, you know, it could cost you the football game.
Sam, before we let you go, what should Tar Heel fans know about Texas A&M just from looking at their stats, looking at them on film? What have you seen from them that Carolina fans should know?
Yeah, they do a really good job. From what I've seen on the defense side of the ball, their defense coordinator does a really good job mixing up different looks and give you different looks. They're really talented on the defensive line. They have a couple of really good players. And really, just, they're very athletic on defense. They have a lot of really athletic guys at linebacker and at the secondary positions. So it's definitely a great challenge for our offense. But, you know, we'll have a really good plan. Coach Longo will have a really good plan. And the younger guys have had a really good couple weeks of practice, so we're definitely excited about the offense in this game.
That's Sam Howell. Sam, as always, man, thank you for your time. Great to talk with you, and look forward to seeing you on the field down in Miami.
Yep, appreciate you guys for having me.
Always appreciate Sam's time. Have a good time talking with him. And Adam, big game for Sam Howell, of course. He's going to be missing some weapons on that offensive side. He was very honest there and saying, look, it's going to impact things for Carolina on the offensive side of things, but you've got a great quarterback there in Sam Howell.
And a great temperament to handle that type of pressure that will be put on him with all eyes on him offensively. But as you saw in that interview, never gets too high, never gets too low, and I think that's what Carolina's going to need to do, because there will be some adversity against such a good Texas A&M defense. Sam Howell more than equipped to handle that.
Also a great example, Adam, really this entire Tar Heel football team of the type of student athletes that Carolina's trying to bring in, not just to football, but to every sport here at UNC.
And so important this year, in such an odd year, all these opportunities that Carolina student athletes have gotten to do, all made possible because of the Rams Club. Want to mention the Rams Club Victory Fund, which is a fund specifically set up to bridge some of those gaps that have presented themselves here in 2020 because of some of the financial challenges that have faced athletic departments all across the country, certainly here in Chapel Hill. Really encourage you to go to ramsclub.com, find out more about the Victory Fund, find out more about the Rams Club, join if you're not already a member. Maybe bump up that membership. They've got a special membership called the Jones Level. Maybe you bump it up to that level if you're not already, and get signed up to help student-athletes like Sam Howell enjoy their time here at Carolina.
That's the level where you just find the spare change that's in your back pocket and dump it out there on somebody's desk over at the EWAC. Adam, time for a season highlight video. Lots of highlights, of course, to get to. And so Matt Fetter put this season highlight video together. He's part of the social media team for Carolina football, and what an impact that Carolina football has begun to make in that social media landscape. Matt and others a big part of that.
I'm too old to know how to be good at social media, but I know when I look at it, if it's good, Carolina football on the field is Orange Bowl level, and social media level, they are Orange Bowl level, because they've been good all year, and Matt Fetter, a key part of that group that's done great work all season. This is just another part of it.
All right, so let's relive some of the fun moments from this year, but still a little bit more to do after that as well here on the Carolina Insider Orange Bowl Preview presented by Bojangles.
I'm flying at everybody. Helicopter in the middle of the hood, I'm flying at everybody. I just fainting, he chasing, I swear I don't care about it. Boy, you play, you gonna die front of everybody. Leave some blood on the street by some red bottles.
Over the middle, tight end, Austin has a five, give him six.
I used to pray for a plug, I'm go out the way and come back with a lot of them. I used to dream about colors when we live in Linus, now I stay on top of them. I wouldn't give a damn if he ran them up a whole billion, I still wouldn't acknowledge me. He put my name in the song, where the f*** is he on? I don't care, but we gotta go get him.
It's intercepted, Tony Grimes.
I shit down, I don't care what my f***. Well, I made Lil' Kel spin a block on the four-wheel. Not for real, spin a block on the four-wheel. $5 million for me, that ain't no deal. I didn't make that time six in like 3 years. All this rap, I ain't even talk about this shit.
Intercepted, John Chapman.
Residency out in Vegas, might fly to LA and go f*** with LeBron in the Lakers. Come back to Atlanta with Jada, bro, told us to take her.
Intercepted, Day-Day Hollins with a lot of room.
I know how this shit on a hater.
Holy cow, he caught it!
I'm grateful. I'm flying at everybody. Helicopter in the middle of the hood. I'm flying at everybody. I was fainting.
Somersaults inside the pylon.
Need some blood on the street by some red bottoms. Hold
it. Flip it into the cornerback.
Watching for everyone around me. I ran it up. How the fuck is you down me? She said for life. How the fuck is you clown? I bought all this water. I'm never gonna drown. I'm in New York. I'm perfecting my sound. I
find the streaking Javonte Williams. Five touchdown. Magical play by Sam Howell.
In polo, I joined in the game and went local. I put on these clothes like a hobo. There's layers of drill. I show my ass and feel. You play your man and kill. Say that before, but I'm dead for real. Little bro jumping around like his legs in here. I ran it up.
Sam Howell leaps in.
Show me the way, ain't never still. This Glock ain't no pop, it'll pop for real. I f*** with that serve, I don't pop no pills. My young turn down, got no deals. I need me a billion so I can chill. I'm driving like ain't got no license still. My truck, I move like he got nice.
This is getting ridiculous. Heels stretch the lead.
All alone, in zone, touchdown! Josh Downs, the freshman, on the 15, runs over some Blue Devil, get out of his way! Deion is wrong, that's a Carolina touchdown! It's on the deck, and Des Evans picks it up! Steps to attack with Javonte, 15, 10, 5, give him 6, 4, touchdown, Carolina!
Rappers faking behind, I don't go round. I took 12 on the chase, I had 4 ounces. Ask around, we them guys, I do no clowning. If I can, I'ma try to keep the smoke down.
Jump ball! Touchdown! Edwin Simmons!
He didn't gave me the game and I ran
right over the middle, Antoine Green snags it, dives for the score! The pass intercepted by Morrison.
That's a great feeling, I'm gonna go there when I get a chance. I lost 500 reps before
pass
I
is tipped up in the air and intercepted. Picked off by Surratt.
Yeah, but she didn't get a follow-up. Ain't no reason to be for no
from the goal line for Brown. He's got it.
Helicopter in the middle of the hood. I'm flying nearby. I just fainting. Be chasing. I swear I don't care about it. Boy, you play, you gon' front of everybody. Leave some
blood. Banging into people still going. He's just having fun time.
I don't know where the feds got him.
Man, it really has been a great year for Carolina football. I mean, Adam, it makes me kind of sad to look back at all that, just how much fun this has been and that it's almost over for the Tar Heels.
Well, and you feel like as it was happening, you didn't really get a chance to look forward to it because you were never quite sure what was happening next.
Yeah.
And now knowing what I know, I'd like to go back and do it all again and really get to enjoy it this time.
All right, we have one more piece of content for you here on the show. Adam, we've talked a lot about Texas A&M, but we really wanted to dig in on the X and O's of the Aggies. And so we asked Matt Merletti, of course, former Tar Heel DB, to come in and break down some film of Texas A&M to let us know what we should expect. And looking forward to hearing from Matt.
Really excited about the chance to see this through a former Carolina player's eyes, a former NFL player's eyes. And hopefully he'll be able to give you a few things for you to watch when you're watching the Orange Bowl. Keep an eye out and say, I saw Matt Merletti talking about that on the Carolina Insider.
All right, let's get to Matt Merletti breaking down the opponent, Texas A&M, here on our Orange Bowl Preview presented by Bojangles.
Thanks, Jones and Adam. We're going to be looking for a classic Jimbo Fisher team. These are excellent athletes, well-coached, and they have no crazy schemes that they're really going to be throwing at us. So it's really just their guys line up and they think they're going to beat ours. So guys that we're going to have to keep an eye on are quarterback Kellen Mond here, number 11. We have Aeneas Smith, running back, number 0, and tight end. He's going to be potentially in the running to win the Mackey Award. His name's Jalen Weidermeyer. So we're going to keep an eye out for those three guys. Those guys are the key to this offense. So we're going to take you through a few plays here. I'm going to pause at the top. These offensive linemen, it's a great group here. This is four senior offensive linemen, and they do a lot of five-man out protection. So that means we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys out on routes, 5 in protection, and they trust Kellen Mond here to make the right decisions, and they trust his legs as well. So you'll see here, he does pull it and run. He's not going to wow you with his throws or with his legs, but he's not afraid to put his head down either. So you'll see him, he takes one peek at the tight end and then just takes it and runs. So we will have to keep an eye on that. Watch tight end, he's looking there, and then he pulls it and runs. So Weidermeyer has about 6 red zone touchdowns, so that will be something to look for, especially as we have Eugene Asante in the middle of the field there. They may be looking to pick on him, we'll see. Alrighty, on this play, red zone again. Okay, so we have Jalen Weidermeyer right here. He's going to be a key on in the red zone, but not on this play. He's a decoy on this play. So he is just running a pick route and running this guy off so that they can get a solo matchup here. This is Aeneas Smith. He's just he's lined up all the way out on the outside at wide receiver. They will put him in the slot. They will put him in the backfield. So he goes all over. But keep an eye on this. It's going to him the entire time. So you'll see again, pick route by Weidermeyer's going, he runs the pivot, easy touchdown. So again, we got another look at it. Good look at the pick. He's not looking for the ball at all. Runs the pivot route. That's an easy one. It's just one-on-one. Okay, so again, they will not get very exotic with any of this. This is just vanilla coming downhill, and they're just going to beat you. So they had a cutter motion. So this wide receiver ends up right here, started here, just motions back. This is automatic, a run key right here. So we know that that's going to be a run. They will never run towards a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver. He runs routes. So we know he's going to be a backside block here. Another thing to look at, Jay Bateman's going to have to get these guys coached up here. Okay, so look at the pad level. Everybody has square shoulders except this guy. His shoulders are here. He's automatically showing his hand. He's going to be coming downhill. He's stressed about coming downhill like this and reaching to get this block. Okay, so a couple things to look for there. But again, you have a wide receiver here, they're going to be running away from it every single time. So again, backside block, just running downhill. This is vanilla. They're just coming right at you. 4 senior offensive linemen. And watch after they get this touchdown. There's no celebration. They knew they were going to score. This is not exciting to them. Okay, so we want to avoid third and short, third and goal situations. We do not want to find ourselves in the red zone like that. This is about as exotic as their offense gets. You'll see a slice motion by this tight end here, and that'll be kind of the key to this play. But that's about as exotic as it gets. You'll see them run this, and it's just running downhill at you. So you'll see the slice motion go across, and in this next angle, we'll see what that does to the defense and what it does to their eyes. So things like this is what we're really going to have to make sure our guys are coached up on, because this can kill you, especially in the red zone. Again, you will see the slice motion come across. That automatically takes this guy's eyes and this guy's eyes from their original reads in here, and it makes them look over here. Okay? So he should be shooting the B gap here. That should be his gap. But he just follows, he gets kind of lost in the shuffle and keeps his eyes on the tight end. So you'll see this open wide up just because of these two guys. They don't really read their keys effectively. That is going to be a key thing, especially for our defense and the middle linebacker. You know, not having a ton of experience in replacing Chad Surratt, that's going to be something to keep an eye on. So again, we mentioned these are really good athletes that Jimbo Fisher has, and their schemes are not too complicated, but they are very, very well coached. So they're going to want to just line up across from you and beat you. Go ahead and run it. Keep an eye on this defensive line. They're just beating their guys. Get to the quarterback, sack, fumble. And on this next angle, you'll see just how well coached they are. This is a really savvy move. Quarterback just asked for motion in from the slot receiver. Keep an eye on number 4's eyes. Okay, so he is blitzing on this play. This is a nickel blitz. He has no idea it's coming. The left tackle has no idea it's coming. So they're not counting him in the protection whatsoever because they think he's in coverage. So keep an eye, as this motion occurs, keep an eye on his eyes because he keeps his eyes on the receiver the entire time, does not show his hand whatsoever. And at the snap, he shoots his gun and he goes after the quarterback. So keeps his eyes, and then boom, goes. So now this running back has to pick him up instead of helping out on the defensive end, and you know what happens. So again, very vanilla defense. All they're doing is a cover two man look. So these two safeties are playing over top just to protect over top of these receivers. Everybody else is man to man. So he has a guy that's out of the shot there. This linebacker has the running back here. This either nickel or linebacker has this slot. Corner is lined up on this receiver. They're trying to go deep here, okay? So they're going to be running a seven route, which is just like a flag route. They are not going to have time to do this. And Sam Howell is probably not going to have time to really throw deep on a lot of routes. So be expecting a lot of quick game runs to the outside to avoid this defensive line because this is a coverage sack. They only rush four, and they have six guys in to protect him, in to protect the quarterback, and it still doesn't work. So this is a coverage sack. Perfect look at it. But again, look, so we're going deep here. That's who he's reading. There's no time. Nobody's open. So what's he going to do? He has no other options whatsoever. This is why we're going to have to be looking for a lot of quick passes, runs to the outside, just to get rid of guys like this.
So a big challenge coming up for Carolina, to be sure. 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Gosh, they were just in this stadium, Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami Gardens, Florida. Maybe some of that 62-26 mojo that Carolina had over Miami is still in there as the Tar Heels get ready to face Texas A&M. And we'll be on the air, by the way, radio-wise for that one at 7 p.m. to get you ready for the 8 p.m. kickoff. And Adam, thought we would close the show with something special here to get everybody ready to go.
I think this will get you fired up for the game. You've got Eric Church narrating a video put together by some of that excellent Go Heels Productions, UNC social media football team. Some great highlights here, some great narration from Eric Church. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy the Orange Bowl.
8 o'clock Saturday night. Again, we're on the air for 7 p.m. for Carolina and Texas A&M. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Carolina Insider Orange Bowl preview presented by Bojangles.
This one is for the believers. The 2021 Orange Bowl is for the diehards and the players who got us here. Daz Newsome and Sam Howell, of course, but also Famous Amos and Gio and LT and Pep. And every single Tar Heel who rang the victory bell and sang the fight song and ran out of the tunnel. But also for you. You who made the road trips, who bought the tickets to attend every bowl. You who had no voice left to scream Priceless Gem during the alma mater. And who cheered for us and laughed with us. And yes, sometimes cried with us. Most of all, for you who believed. The ones who knew those early morning wake-up calls and solitary weight room sessions could lead to this. The ones who saw the bell tower lit up blue and realized the goal wasn't achieved, as something bigger was possible. And because you believed in us then, believe this now. We're not finished. We're going to the Orange Bowl. Not for a t-shirt, for the warm weather, we're going to win. The Orange Bowl. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. This can be Carolina football. Every seat filled, a national impact, the biggest stage every weekend. This can be Carolina football. This will be Carolina football. Because you believe.